Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
It is, in fact, the most decorated free agent quarterback class ever. They've combined for 39 Pro Bowls. Easily the most among any class since free agency began in 1993. And the next closest class each boasted 23 Pro Bowlers each. Those were the 2009 class, headlined by Brett Favre and Mike Vick. And in the 1997 class, Warren Moon and Randall Cunningham. As we say hello to our NFL Live free agent quarterback special, it truly is an offseason like we have ever seen. I'm Wendy Nix, Field Yates, Dan Orlovsky, and Victor Cruz. And today we're going to look at this from every angle, from these quarterbacks and what they've accomplished to where they might land and end up finishing their careers. So again, we'll start with who they are and what they've done, and we'll get to where they're going. So stay with us. And Dan, I'll start with you. And we're going to start at the top, which you know has to be among the greatest to ever play, if not the greatest at his position, Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, and what he is right now, what he does still really well, understanding field vision, the coverage breakdown, play action pass, which is something grown over the past couple of years, still very good mover in the pocket. And then the con, I guess we could point out that they're not going to be taking a ton of deep shots with Tom Brady downfield and the reality of his age, 43. But I want to dispel some of that, and there's evidence on tape that his arm is still plenty strong enough. Some people are going to go, Tom Brady's 43 years old. He doesn't have the arm strength. I would disagree with that. And then another group of people are going to go, he can't move well enough. Well, he's still very good in that short space to be able to move, to evade that pass rush. And he's got 20 years of keeping his eyes downfield. So Tom Brady, still very good playing quarterback in the National Football
League. And a great point you make. We can't point to age, I don't think, when it comes to limited mobility, because Tom Brady is what Tom Brady was for the most part in that regard field. His skill set has never, has never been that scramble, get out of the pocket kind of guy.
Never has, but I'm not sure anybody has ever navigated the pocket as well as Tom Brady. He's in the conversation with guys like Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, the best to ever do it. The physical regression is not apparent. I'm with Dan on that. So the question that we've all been waiting for, we've all been asking, is where does Tom Brady make sense to fit? We'll cover all kinds of fits of potential suitors throughout the NFL. But just to remember, for the Patriots' purposes, if he re-signs with the Patriots before the start of the NFL league year, they'll take just a $6.75 million dead cap charge on their 2020 cap. If he doesn't re-sign before the new league year begins, that number balloons to $13.5 million. So not only do the Patriots hope for clarity, but they want this to be in short order, as I'm sure every team would, because Tom Brady is the biggest domino, regardless of position, in the NFL this offseason.
There's no question, because whether he's there or not, there has to be a plan in place. The new league year, March 18th. All right, Victor, you can chime in on this next guy, but Dan first, his resume also hasn't won the big game, played his entire career in one place, but now Phillip Rivers moves on.
Yeah, still really good at playing point guard, getting the ball out of his hands to his weapons, and then this is the strength of his game forever, is the timing, anticipation, understanding where receivers are going to be. Now, he is not going to be a guy that you want to move around a lot. You got to protect him, and he turned the ball over a bunch last year, but there's still some evidence on tape that if you protect Phillip Rivers and give him clean pockets, he can light you up. Phillip Rivers, for a long time of his career, was one of those quarterbacks that almost invited pressure. He wanted you to come after him. He did not need a pocket in front of him because he was such a good player. If you protect Phillip Rivers now, he's still good with ball distribution, timing, anticipation, accuracy, knowing where it's got to go, how to feather throws over defenders and in front of guys. Now you got to have the offensive line, but if you do, he's certainly enticing still as a quarterback.
Yeah, the good thing about that, about Phillip Rivers in general, is that timing and that anticipation. He's throwing the ball, for all you guys at home, he's throwing the ball before some receivers are even turning out of their break.
Yeah.
Before they're even out of their break and turning and looking for the football, it's in the air already. And if we're going to talk about age with Tom Brady, we got to talk about age with Phillip Rivers too, as he's up there in age and has to go to a place that can put that coverage in front of him, that offensive line in front of him, to keep him upright so he doesn't have those 20-plus turnovers next year.
Sure.
As well.
Yeah, the question will be, was last season an aberration, or is there more to come in terms of taking care of the football? And teams will have to get that question answered. Ryan Tannehill, say what you will, he got the job done since taking over for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, and last year really mastered Arthur Smith, their play caller's play action game, was really aggressive with the football, and then he made some plays with his feet, both in the play action, drop back game, and then on third downs. Now, was he a product of the dominant run game and really good offense? We don't know. But the tape showed last year that Tannehill was a guy that got his stinger back. He got his punch back, and he got a lot of confidence back. This was a different Ryan Tannehill that we saw last year that was confident with the football. And I don't know if there's a – I don't think you're going to lose that. I think a team is going to get a guy that now is super confident in his ability to make all the necessary and appropriate throws in Ryan Tannehill.
I think that's true, and I think that confidence field is echoed with his teammates. I mean, it's an intangible, but it is in place in Tennessee. Those guys have spoken out. I believe they're being true to their word in supporting Ryan Tannehill and his return.
Derrick Henry amongst them. We'll see whether or not the Titans opt to use a tag on Ryan Tannehill. There's also been some buzz recently from a variety of people suggesting that a multi-year deal with Ryan Tannehill could be a priority for them even before that tag window closes. And Dan, you mentioned how this was kind of a confidence-building year for Ryan Tannehill this past season. You know, and a lot of us should point to that, when was the last time before last year that Ryan Tannehill had an above-average supporting cast? The answer may be never. Maybe have to go back to college.
Let me piggyback off that, right? Ryan Tannehill came in the NFL in 2012. So let's wipe away his rookie year, because that's often the case with rookies. Since then, 135 touchdowns, 67 interceptions. That's really, really good quarterback play. Part of it was he didn't stay healthy in Miami, and his supporting cast stunk. Yep. So you saw him stay healthy last year and be on a good football team and play really good football. I would argue that Ryan Tannehill is a much better quarterback than the nation presumes him to be because of what he started in Miami. But whoever gets him is going to get a really good starting quarterback in the NFL.
Well, look at that. Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Ryan Tannehill, and we're not even halfway through this list of free agent quarterbacks. It really is mind-boggling, and there will be a first domino to fall. New on NFL Live from Adam Schefter, Dolphins are releasing two-time Pro Bowl safety Rashad Jones. The move will become official when the new league year begins. That's March 18th. His release frees up $5.3 million against Miami's salary cap. And also reporting that Texans and cornerback Jonathan Joseph announced they have mutually agreed that he will be allowed to test the free agent market. And no word out of Dallas yet on a new deal for Dak. What we do know, the team sent their quarterback and his camp a new proposal in early March, and the two sides are set to be continuing the dialogue. The effort, of course, to lock Prescott up for the long term and avoid using that franchise tag, although if they did that, it would presumably be just to buy some time. The intention is for Dak to be in Dallas, whether it's on the tag or with the longer-term deal, which they're trying to do. We went through these other guys and their resumes. Tell me about Dak.
Well, Dak Prescott took so much growth last year, and new head coach Mike McCarthy's getting this player that kind of did some stuff last year, throwing on the run at a really high level. The arm strength was on display, and a lot of understanding of protection in the empty set. Now, the knock is really in 2018 and 2019, struggled against good defense, 22 touchdowns and 20 turnovers. Dak took a lot of steps with understanding the play-action game and ripping the ball. See it, trust it, and rip it. So there's a lot of pros, but there is the reality of the struggling against good defenses over the last 2 years that he and Jerry Jones and the Cowboys need to figure out an answer.
Well, to that end, Rob Ninkovich sat in that very chair and said he hadn't seen enough, you know, and every country has a different opinion, so to speak, that he wanted to see more if he were the Cowboys before really leveraging the franchise on this quarterback. Does anybody here have that inclination as well?
Well, so there may be more left to prove for Dak Prescott. We're talking about a player with limited postseason experience, but this is how quarterback contracts work, right? There are players with comparable, maybe even lesser resumes than Dak Prescott that have made boatloads of money. Jimmy Garoppolo got a huge contract after 6 starts in his career, and really not that many of major consequence. Most of those starts came when the 49ers were down and out after he was acquired by them during, I think, the 2017 in-season trade. So, yes, there is probably more that Dak Prescott could show. And maybe he will show. Maybe it'll be as soon as this year. But when you're his representation negotiating this quarterback contract deal, you're saying, all right, Dallas, what's the opportunity cost? You're going to either not use the franchise tag here or you're going to not re-sign him? Let's see what you got. Like, go ahead and test the market and see what else is available for you, because it ain't pretty. And Dak has done pretty much everything you could expect out of a fourth-round pick an exemplary teammate and really the face of the franchise in so many ways, plus his production, that he's going to get paid.
They don't grow on trees. And how many times do we say that?
He's actually proved that he could lead that football team. He's proven that whenever you ask anyone in that locker room, any of the players, Ezekiel Elliott, all these guys that are heralded guys in that locker room, they ask him about Dak Prescott, and they say he's our leader. He's the guy. He's the one that drives the train. He's the one that's setting up the meeting. He's the one that's grabbing the bull by the horns in the locker room and getting these guys where they need to be. I think he's shown that he can do all those things that you want your quarterback to do, except for winning the big game, except for advancing your team in the playoffs, deep into the playoffs and making one of those type of runs, which I think he can do that, but they have to pay him and have him there in order to do
so. But this is why we sit here, because you, everything you said is right, and everything you said is right. Why hasn't happened?
But no quarterback deals are done
either. I was waiting for the
waiting for the aha moment, right?
But here's my thing. Like, if
but negotiations do take time, especially when they're of this caliber.
Of course. Yes. But the truth of the matter is, or the reality of the matter is when teams find their quarterback, they don't haggle that much. Like, the Rams didn't. The Eagles didn't.
This is Jerry.
Like, some
Jerry.
Teams just didn't.
We've
this
seen
is a guy,
difficult ones. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has taken a while.
But why is it so difficult? That's my point.
Because there's so much nuance involved with these quarterback contracts.
But if he was... Like, listen,
and it's
I know
the Dallas Cowboys.
Sure,
yeah.
And
it's
he paid Emmitt Smith and he paid Troy Aikman.
He'll pay him.
It took forever to get Zeke done.
I mean, it took a while to get Zeke done.
I think Owl is right with the world when Jerry's taking his time in Dallas.
It took a while to get Zeke done, yes, but Zeke had absolutely no leverage.
All right, hold your fire. Maybe our Hall of Fame quarterback, Steve Young, can weigh in on this. Steve, do you have an issue with how the Cowboys have handled Dak and his situation?
I don't have an issue as long as what they're saying to Dak is we're not completely committed now. Because they say, well, they offered him as much money as ever before. Still, Dak wants 4 years, you give him three. It's like the Cowboys just have not gone all in. And I think Dak smells that. And Dak seems like a guy that is in no hurry. Supremely confident. Doesn't seem like a guy that's worried. Remember last year we wanted to play through the contract. Look, I want to play another. I'll show you more. You want more? I'll keep showing you more. So in some ways, I think he's going to call their bluff, the Cowboys, and force them to do something, you know, these astronomical deals. There's these, you know, existential deals for the Cowboys. Like, we're all in with Dak Prescott, and they're going to have to say it, not just with a contract, but they're going to have to say it in words and actions and deeds. And I think Dak's going to force that out of them.
If he senses that there's been trepidation, and Steve, I think you're right that he likely has, I would say in that situation he'll hold their feet to the fire because it becomes an emotional issue as well.
Yes, and I agree with Steve wholeheartedly, but then it's going to make Dak look bad. You know, there's going
to
be people, fans, or people in that organization go, man,
public,
Dak, you
true.
Should take, you know, there's going
to
be people that are going to start to look at Dak a little bit differently. I use this analogy. Like, listen, when my wife has come to me and say, hey, I want this bag. I go, nope, I don't want to spend that much money. And she goes, listen, I want this bag. I go, well, you're my wife, so you get what you want. You know, like if Dak Prescott goes to the Cowboys and goes, well, listen, this is the number I want. If they really wanted to marry him, then they would have done it by now. In my, like, I just, it shouldn't be this hard. After sitting here and listening to you guys name off everything that he has accomplished and everything that he has done and everything that he has, that he is. And also, I've had very in-depth conversations about him with Kellen Moore, who I played with, and John Kitna, who I played with. Those guys rave about him. So I'm trying to figure out why the organization won't go.
Yeah, that's why we're going to end up. That's why we're going to end up with a franchise tag.
Is that you, Steve? Where's Steve? Wait, you think we'll end up with the franchise tag?
Yeah, because Dak. I mean, Dak's proven him. I'm not going to capitulate, and I think Dan's. I think we're all right, right? I mean, Dan. He's not going to capitulate. You give me, and I want to hear it. I want to see it in the numbers. I want to see everything. I don't get it. You franchise me again. I'll go play great football again, and I'll go somewhere else and prove you wrong again. I think that's. It seems like that's the kind of guy that he is.
Well, interesting stuff. Either way, we're here now, and so the clock is ticking again. The new league year coming up March 18th. We'll have a deadline in terms of using the tag, so we'll see. To be continued.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The biggest storyline we'll be following as we head towards the new league year. Oh, go figure. Exactly 1 week away today. That's the start of free agency. Where will Tom Brady end up? Here's Adam Schefter with what he knows.
For all that Tom Brady has accomplished throughout the course of his career, three NFL MVP awards, six Super Bowl titles, there's one thing he's still never done. He's never become a free agent with the ability to go pick his own team. But that is about to change next week when NFL free agency kicks off. There will be, or at least there's expected to be, some conversations that occur between Tom Brady and the Patriots to figure out once and for all whether those two can salvage that relationship. And if they can't, Tom Brady then would be allowed to talk to other teams. And the other teams out there that I believe will be waiting to speak with him would be teams like the Los Angeles Chargers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at that point in time. There'll be any number of suitors for Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. And then, of course, there'll be the questions about the other quarterbacks in this free agent class. Philip Rivers, who left the Chargers, who will be moving on from them. Many people have linked him to Indianapolis, but I think there'll be other teams interested in Philip Rivers' services as well. And many people have linked the Tennessee Titans with Tom Brady, but the Tennessee Titans have been talking contract with Ryan Tannehill. That would seem to be the first option. But when Tom Brady's out there, all options remain on the table.
Shefty, thank you. Look, every free agent quarterback, every free agent for that matter, has a list of things that matter, of things they need to make this work. Money's on everybody's list. I understand that. But when you're a 43-year-old, which Tom Brady will be,
yes,
when he plays the 2020 season, other factors are in play. Let's look at what these teams are, who they are, and what they have to offer if he should make that decision. And we'll start with the Titans.
Yeah, it's an intriguing group for Tom Brady. Obviously, the run game with Derrick Henry. Can they get him back? A.J. Brown could have been Rookie of the Year. Adam Humphries is important to me because Brady always wants the slot receiver. And don't forget, the Patriots made a run at him last offseason. I'm sure Brady was integral in that. Jonnu Smith is another really important piece. So they have a lot of really good weapons that Brady can distribute the football to, turn around and hand it off to. Guys that understand space, they understand route running, they understand feel for a quarterback. So that's a really big deal. Going to the coach, obviously the relationship with Mike Vrabel and their friendship. I want to take it a step further, though. Like Arthur Smith, their play caller last year that Mike Vrabel handed the reins over to was really, really good. They were super creative. Ryan Tannehill was put in a place to play his best football. And I think that Tom Brady's going to watch this tape and go, wait, I'm used to really good and creative play calling, and I see that with Arthur Smith.
Not only that, if you believe the implication, which I do, that Brady is looking for a collaborative effort, some level of collaboration that perhaps he has not had at this point in his career, then Mike Vrabel and that staff as a whole makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but it's a really interesting question. Does the relationship that Tom Brady has with Mike Vrabel stand as a massive benefit to Tennessee or potentially a roadblock? And because on the one hand, you're familiar, you know each other, Tom sort of has an understanding of what Mike Vrabel stands for and vice versa, but it's also one of his closest friends in football. Do you want to go and be the quarterback for a team that is coached by a dear friend of yours? At what point? And I'm not, and the answer is I don't know, but you know, I think we have always perceived it as a massive benefit to Tennessee, but Tom and Vrabel may say, listen, we're happy to be friends, we respect the heck out of each other, and when we have the opportunity to compete sometimes in playoff games, we look forward to that. So I don't know. I don't know if that relationship is to the benefit or to the detriment of Tennessee.
No, I agree. I think it's a fair question. You don't want to ruin a friendship, especially when you get in bed with each other from a working perspective. So as good as that friendship is, it can't be the only thing that ties them. And I think just from an athletic perspective and a personnel perspective, I think Tennessee's got the most talent around their team for Tom Brady to look at.
We've switched it here, but Derrick Henry, and I know he's a question mark. To me, that's the biggest factor as Vrabel, to your point. It can't be the only factor, nor would it be.
But this is a massive X factor for a 43-year-old quarterback. It's offensive line.
Sure.
And with the friendship and the weapons, like, this is a big deal. Saffold was massive last year. Ben Jones, one of the better centers in football. Obviously, Conklin is a big piece of this. Does Conklin, can they get him back with Tom Brady and with Derrick Henry? Can they afford all three of those pieces, Taylor Lewan as well? But you would argue that Tennessee has got the greatest X factor
with the offensive line.
Let's take a look at the Bucs. There are still some question marks there with the quarterback position for obvious reasons. Here are their weapons.
Weapons galore. I mean, Mike Evans and Godwin took such steps forward last year as a receiver duo. O.J. Howard and Field, I know you mentioned Cam Brate as a tight end duo. The offensive line is pretty good. So, like, there's people that you can throw the football to. Again, Tom Brady experiencing last year the way he did, he's going to want, I gotta have guys that can get open in man coverage. I got to get people that can allow me to win one-on-one matchups and push the football downfield. So, naturally, we go to the coach next, Bruce Arians. And everyone's going to go, you know what, Tom Brady doesn't fit schematically what Bruce Arians likes to do. And you're right. Bruce Arians wants to push the football downfield. That's not Tom Brady. But I recall that Gary Kubiak and Peyton Manning didn't fit well schematically. Peyton Manning did not do the play action game, but Gary Kubiak, a good coach, looked at it and said, you know what? I got a special player. Let me change what I want to do. And I think Bruce Arians is a good enough coach to do that. And then the X factor for Tampa Bay, they're the fourth most cap space in the NFL. So if I'm Jason Light, the general manager, to get Tom Brady, it's like, hey, man, why don't you come here? Let's spend some money. I'll allow you to have some input on who you want to try and go get to put around you. Yeah. That's a big X factor, an intriguing thing for Tom Brady.
Yeah, part of the reason why they have so much cap space, no starting quarterback currently under contract with Jameis Winston scheduled to be a free agent. Shaq Barrett, their best defensive player, at least in terms of production last year, also going to be a free agent, although he may well receive the franchise tag from Tampa Bay. Jason Pierre-Paul, also going to be a free agent. So they've got some holes to fill on this roster. This might be the most fun outcome for Tom Brady. The weapons, the possibility of meeting somewhere in the middle with Bruce Arians, and a team that, despite some of the narratives that this is sort of a woeful defense, there are a lot of people that have wisely pointed out over the last half of the last season, Todd Bowles really resurrected
Todd
that
Bowles
group and had them playing much.
I have a question for Dan group. Because I want to know, let's say Tom Brady does go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's say Bruce Arians is still there. How long before those first month of the season of him dinking and dunking all week long, all game long, when is he going to say, okay, I need my quarterback to throw this thing downfield and Tom Brady doesn't have the arm to throw it 50, 60 yards down the field? How many times do you think that question is going to be asked?
Well, I still think that both of those guys understand football so well. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, if they're dinking and dunking their way to 5-0, they're dinking and dunking their way to 5-0. And I still believe that the tape shows that if Bruce Arians wants to throw the football in those 20-yard in routes and those big seams, Tom Brady's arm is plenty strong enough still on tape to go do that. Protect him and have people to do it. And I do believe that if they're winning, they're both smart enough to realize, wait, this could be pretty special.
Because I know if I'm a receiver, Wendy, I'm Mike Evans.
I think there's evidence to support that he can do it. Not every down.
Yeah.
Not every play, but he's not going to be asked to do that. But he can still do it in pockets.
Sure.
Yes, sure.
Pun not intended. All right, who we got next?
Chargers. Weapons at your fingertips, right? Keenan Allen, he's got the most catches in the NFL over the last 3 years. So there's your possession guy. The massive Mike Williams really became one of the bigger deep threats downfield. Tom Brady could just launch it to him and you're good. Can they tag or bring back Hunter Henry? Obviously, the tight end piece is huge. Eckler's already back. So this is probably the most intriguing option quarterback-wise for, like, the people to throw the football to. They're on their way, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, on their way to becoming one of the best duos in the NFL at receiver, if not already up there in the conversation. And then you move to Anthony Lynn, the head coach. And again, I want to take it a step further. Like, does Tom Brady look at Shane Steichen, their offensive play caller, as somebody that he can go, you could put together a game plan and you could put together design plays and call plays for us to play at a really high level? So that's the question that he has to, you know, ask coaching wise. Does he trust Anthony Lynn? And then X factor.
Yeah.
LA, right? You just opened the production. This is Victor's department.
Yeah. I just felt the light.
Company.
I just felt the light. Come on.
Intriguing. Yes. Intriguing. The traffic I hear is not that bad in LA.
Yes.
So
no.
That's the X factor.
Started a production company. Let's not forget.
Exactly.
So there's that. All right. Now, last but certainly not least, because, you know, it's not broken, don't fix it.
Right.
You can argue about the broken part. Let's talk about the Patriots.
This one's a little tougher sell to me. I mean, Julian Edelman, the weapons, right? Edelman's really good, but beat up last year and is a year older. N'Keal Harry, does he take the step forward? He wasn't what they thought he was going to be as a rookie. And then two of your backs in Michelle and James White that,
you know, you're hopeful for, but they're still missing so many offensive pieces. This is the same crew from last year that we all sat here and said he doesn't have enough people there. He doesn't have enough help. And then obviously Bill Belichick, the relationship he still has. Josh McDaniels stayed there, so the play calling would be a seamless transition. And then really the X factor would be the purity of legacy, right? I mean, play the whole career there. You enter into the Derek Jeter realm, the, you know, rest in peace Kobe Bryant realm, where you become an icon in one singular location. And that's the hardest spot football-wise to my brain that I see Brady playing.
Which is such an interesting thing for you to say, Dan, because when I look at the other options that we've mentioned, for example, Tampa Bay.
Right.
Does anybody sit here and say, with Tom Brady, the Buccaneers become prohibitive favorites in the NFC? Are they even the prohibitive favorites in their own division? Because I wonder, I really do, Brady at some point is going to have to sort of walk the plank with this decision in free agency. And those options could include staying in New England or going somewhere else. And he's going to have to tabulate what matters most to him and his family. And I think part of it, and this is a maniacal winner, right? It's the ability to be playing big games consistently. And I just wonder if Tampa Bay right now is one quarterback upgrade away from playing in major consequence games week in and week out. I think it applies to all those places besides New England. I think he has
it. Think about that though, really. How addictive. How you could get addicted to that feeling of playing in those big games. And he has done so every single year of his career.
Exactly.
I don't think that just goes away.
Right, that's it.
Well, I think my question is, and I have another question.
Not when the rubber meets the road.
I'm just here questioning Dan today. I think when you showed the weapons for New England, or the lack thereof, in comparison to the other teams, should Tom Brady have faith, though, because he knows the organization is going to go out and try to put a team around him because he's been there for years. He understands that they're going to try and do so. Is this something he should be thinking about in free agency? Like, I know the page is going to go out and get me some guys and give me some playmakers that are going to go out there and play and put me in the best position to win. Should he have faith in
that? That's a great question, and that is the question. Mm-hmm. But the people, my question is always, right now, who? Like, A.J. Green's been tagged, so the next options are Emmanuel Sanders or Robbie Anderson. Does Tom Brady look at those guys and go, that's enough for me to get back to the Super Bowl? Is it an Austin Hooper at tight end out of Atlanta? Because Hunter Henry more than likely is not going to be afforded or be tagged by the Chargers. So that's my question. What can New England do? They don't have a ton of cap space. They probably can't bring back Tooney and their offensive guard and Tom Brady. They have one pick in the first 80 of the NFL draft. They have the hardest schedule in football next year. So, like, that's my whole thing with this is I'm looking at it as Tom Brady going at the Super Bowl this year saying, I'm not wearing a blazer to the Super Bowl next year. Meaning, this is all about football. And we saw his frustration this year. Mm-hmm. And so that's my question. And it's been all for this past, I don't know, 8 weeks, 10 weeks is, what can New England do between now and free agency starting in 7 days or something like that, 6 days, to prove to Tom Brady, we will not put you in that same spot next year that we did this year. And I don't know if there's enough bodies for that.
Yeah. They've got a habit of kind of sneaking up on you with some of these
moves.
Yeah, I'll tell you what they could do. Put him on the table.
I mean, they went 12-4 last year with this cast crew that we started.
I mean, six. You need two hands. Just saying. If my math serves me right. Listen, if Brady does make a move, he'll be the first player in NFL history to play for a different team after 20 seasons with the same team.
It's incredible.
We've been looking at some of these marquee names and looking at their resumes. But listen, the list goes on and on. So let's rank these quarterbacks before we try to figure out where they may end up.
Oh, I mean, let's make this clear, all right?
Yeah, I mean,
one,
go there. Yeah, the first few are easy.
All right, that's okay. The easy one. So when we go to number three, I believe we have to put Teddy Bridgewater up there. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater came into the NFL and played good football as a young player. And obviously the injury happens. And then he gets the chance to go get on the field last year in meaningful football games and plays really good. 5-0. Distributes the ball really well. Accurate with the football. Kind of had a coach really believe in him and played good solid football. He's best at that point guard role, ball distribution. But the greatest quality that Teddy Bridgewater has is when he's stepping on the field, you know he's not going to lose the football game for you. He's going to give your team
a chance to win the game. If you surround him with good play call and good people, you should win a lot of good games with Teddy Bridgewater.
Let me ask you this. You're approaching this list late. Let's say this is a draft. Like, it's drafted.
Yes.
And these quarterbacks are out for the 2020 season.
Yes.
Because we're not talking about Tom Brady
right now,
5 years from now.
Season.
I don't think, but who knows. But this is how you'd stack up.
Yeah, if I was running the football team.
Okay, so interesting debate. I'll see who comes in at number four, because I think we'll have a debate about three versus four.
All right, I'm gonna put P. Riv at number four.
And that's where the debate.
Yeah, I'm not as down on P. Riv as a lot of people are. I still believe if you protect Phillip Rivers, the two most important things a quarterback can do, can you throw it and can you think it? And he can still do that. And so protection's a big key, and he's going to still be aggressive with the football. But if you could, you tell me I've got a really good offensive line, I want Phillip Rivers still.
Are you saying that you believe in Phillip Rivers and his ability to continue to play over Teddy Bridgewater here, more so than Teddy Bridgewater?
No,
here?
Teddy's at three. I still want Teddy. Teddy would be my third most intriguing guy.
That's where I would probably.
Or the other way is what I meant.
Yeah.
Do you think Teddy's better?
I would have Rivers flipped with Bridgewater. Here's what I've yet to see from Teddy Bridgewater is, first of all, sustained production as a starter, right? And obviously a lot of that's due to the traumatic knee injury that he had early on in his career. Last year, when they went 5-0, we also saw the resurgence of the Saints defense. We saw an excellent running game. We saw a team that's impeccably coached. And I don't know that there are too many teams that would say, you know what, our plan A going into free agency is to sign Teddy Bridgewater. I think he might be a reasonable second option, but I think Phillip Rivers might actually be somebody's plan A, and certainly there's been plenty of buzz and speculation that Rivers to Indianapolis would be a sensible fit given all the familiarity between he and Frank Reich, their head coach, and Nick Sirianni, their offensive coordinator.
I think there's an agreement that anybody that goes to Indy is going to be in a good place, right? I mean, Tom's offensive line, he's a great play caller.
Yeah.
But I still think that if you put Teddy Bridgewater in a good position with people around him, he's going to play good, consistent, winning football for you. That's why I place him above there, and the lack of turnovers. So going to number five, I know this might surprise some people, and he's not a free agent, but the Cincinnati is going to draft Joe Burrow, and they're going to take care of Andy Dalton, presumably, and put him in a place where he can go and have the opportunity to be someone's starter. Now, listen, he hasn't thrown for over 4,000 yards since 2016 or more than 25 touchdowns since then, but when Andy Dalton was healthy, they were going to the playoffs. He was playing good football, and so there's going to be a market for him because he's been able to accomplish a relatively successful amount of quarterback play in his career.
Just telling you, Andy Dalton has been the subject of some easy pot shots because he's been a part of some notable moments. The league likes Andy Dalton.
I have no problem with that. I don't have a problem with that.
And I'm sure other teams will love the fact that he's battle tested. He's been through these big games. He's played in a ton of them, obviously.
I think we've heard the last of football.
No, I agree. If healthy, he could still play at a high level. I'll put Jameis at number six. Don't talk to me about all the passing yards and all the touchdowns. Since 2013, Jameis hasn't valued the football. And at some point, you have to prove that you will value the football. He's talented. He can make a bunch of really good throws. But no team since 2015 is worse in turnover margin. There's only one team worse in the turnover margin since then outside of Tampa Bay. The second worst turnover margin. They lost 9 games last year by a single possession. So we have to stop turning the football over. If you find me a coach, because Dirk Cutter couldn't do it, and Bruce Arians couldn't do it. If you find me a coach to take care of the turnovers, great, he's higher on the list, but right now he's not.
Yeah, he threw 39 touchdowns last year, the most in the NFL. The problem is 6 of those went to the other team.
Not
so actually only 33. I don't, 30 interceptions. That's incredible.
But is it talent alone that puts him above Mariota? Because that, to me,
those turnovers would be the deciding factor for you in terms
of swapping him.
The reason why he's above Marcus is I've seen really good stretches of play.
Like,
there's been really good stretches of play. You know?
But
I haven't seen Marcus be, you know, have a stretch of like, wow, that's dominant quarterback play.
And been a while.
Maybe
it has
a fresh start for him will be great.
I think he needs it first.
I hope so. All right, let's look at where they might end up, and we'll start with the aforementioned Jameis Winston.
Okay, Jameis Winston.
I think Jameis Winston, do I have the right person?
No, you're good.
I think Jameis Winston, if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm seeing what his value is and going, all right, you could be my backup to Big Ben. It's a similar type of offense. They're a little bit more of get the ball out of your hands and distribute the football. But if Jameis doesn't have a massive market to be a starter, I want to see what he's going to cost me to come in and learn from Big Ben and back him up.
All right, how about Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, this would have made a lot more sense last year, saying, hey, go to the Bears, where he could reunite with Mark Helfrich, his head coach at the University of Oregon. That being said, the Bears seem to be hitching their wagon to Mitch Trubisky again for next year. Can they find a quarterback that challenges Mitch Trubisky but doesn't threaten him? I feel like Marcus Mariota kind of fits that bill. There might be some more good football to squeeze out of him.
5-0 in relief of Drew Brees. Where do we see Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah, I like Teddy Bridgewater and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look, when you look at what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have gotten out of their quarterback position, we just alluded to it. Yes, there's been a lot of production there, a lot of yardage, a lot of balls down the field, a lot of touchdowns. But taking care of the football has just been an issue with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the quarterback position. And no one takes care of the ball better than Teddy Bridgewater. And I think he goes to Tampa Bay.
All right. And there he is, Andy Dalton. He's not a free agent, but he'll eventually land in that spot.
Yeah, the Red Rifle, I love him in New England. I mean, you talk about an understanding of timing, the ability to get the ball to your hands quickly, see different types of pass concept games. That's the intermediate game. You know, the horizontal aspect of the football field, which is what New England loves to do with Josh McDaniels and their running backs. I actually believe that if he goes to New England, he'll play some pretty good football for them at that quarterback spot.
I would be fascinated to see what Bill Belichick and that staff could do with Andy Dalton, personally. I think it would be intriguing.
He fits that.
He does.
And an opportunity to get the most out of him.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social Security? Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Also, the new league year and free agency and all that comes with that getting set for next week. So it is a busy time on the NFL calendar, especially in terms of roster building. So, perfect time. Play a little. Sounds good, sounds
I'm
bad,
in.
Right?
Oh,
you guys want to play? All right, we're in. So we could use a good game.
I'm sure there can't be anything controversial out there that's been said by anyone.
No. Here's what we'll do. We're going to start with our friend Bill Belichick, coaches the Patriots, and he has had a few things, very, very few, to say about Tom Brady. Here's his last public comments on his quarterback.
Everybody's situation on the team is different. There are no two that are exactly the same. So, but the future is the future for all of them, just like it is for Tom and anybody else you want to bring up. Certainly Tom's, you know, an iconic figure in this organization, and nobody respects Tom more than I do. But I respect all the other players and all the other coaches in this organization too. And I want to, you know, give the proper attention and communication and detail and thought into my input into those decisions.
In case there was any ambiguity, the future is still the future. The future is the future or something. What kind of words? Anyway, sounds good, sounds bad.
I think it sounds bad. I mean, because the future is different for Tom Brady than it is for other players. It's different for Brady than it is Stephon Gilmore or N'Keal Harry or Sony Michel. I mean, his future is a much smaller window. And, you know, like when Bill Belichick says, like, man, he's iconic and no one respects him more than I do, it's like when someone wants to knock somebody down, but they say the nice thing about him first. Like, I want to build somebody up just to cut him down. And so you can't sit there and say, you know, like, everybody's future is just the future. Like, Tom Brady's future with that organization is vastly different and vastly more important and impactful. Let me say that, more impactful than anybody else's.
I would say this. So to me, it sounds like Bill Belichick.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like Bill.
Guys, that wasn't an option.
Well, yeah, it's my game. I can make it up.
Sounds
because
good.
Here's
sounds
the thing.
Bad.
He isn't going to differentiate with Tom Brady. Therein lies a little bit of the rub, and that's why we're here in the first place. But that's just Bill Belichick. He's not going to negotiate in the media, and he's not going to say much more than that.
Well, especially the day
not
after
right
the game is over, right?
Exactly.
So important to note that for anybody that
context.
That was 2 months ago, right? That was not where we are now, where there is more uncertainty about Tom Brady's future than there was the day after that game or 2 days after that game against Tennessee Titans in the wild card round.
All right. Let's keep playing.
So sounds bad. Gotcha.
Yeah, okay.
That's good.
You guys agree. Cool.
Well, all right, listen, we talked about Ryan Tannehill did a great job for the Titans. He, too, is a free agent, though, and there's questions about where he'll end up. Here's A.J. Brown on Ryan Tannehill.
Of course, we're going to want the linebacker. I got chemistry with him already. So going to year two, I feel like it'll grow more. But, you know, unfortunately, if things don't go as planned, you know, if we get Tom Brady or whatever, like, who wouldn't want to play with Tom Brady? I'm just going to be honest. Like, he know how to do it. He won Super Bowls, and I really want to be around him. You know, if we're fortunate enough to get Tom Brady this year, it would be insane. But regardless of whoever we get, I just want them just to hurry up so I can know who my quarterback will be.
Steve Young back with us. Steve, sounds good, sounds bad. Or sounds like Bill Belichick. You can pick that one, too.
It does sound like Bill Belichick. It's fine. I mean, these guys are in a tough spot. I mean, Tom Brady's roaming around the league, and he might come to your team, and you've got a really successful quarterback, had a great year, but replaced the starting quarterback, so it doesn't have – like, it's okay to say this about Ryan Tannehill right now because, you know, it's not set. And that's okay. If Tom doesn't go to Tennessee, then AJ's going to be fine with Ryan Tannehill. Ryan's going to be like, hey, great, AJ. No, this comment is not inflammatory. And I think most players are trying to figure out what's coming. And if it is Tom Brady, I want to be one of the first ones to say, hey, cool. You know, I don't want to be the ones in San Francisco. Guys are like, no. We don't want that to happen. Well, if it happens now, how do you respond? And I think that's why it's a, you know, with Tom Brady roaming around the league, it's, you're going to have this good or bad or sounds good, sounds bad. We can do this all day long because everybody's in a jam trying to figure out how to handle it. And I thought, AJ, it's fine. It's fine. No big deal.
All right. No big deal. I like that visual of Tom Brady roaming around the league.
I just feel him.
Where's he going to stop?
Floating around.
Tennessee.
Yeah, he's out there.
Just floating all these different teams.
All right. So it might float to Dallas. You never know. All right. Here's Jerry Jones on Dak Prescott.
This is a deal that ultimately I have to do, and I'm will have to. When I say do, I have to sign the check. So it's got to fit. It just has to fit, and it has to fit a lot of things. And for me, this is not about Dak. It's about the team and about how to win. And that's not being in any way negative, I think, the world of Dak, but it's about the team, and if it doesn't feel right, it won't happen.
Oh, boy. Sounds good, sounds bad, Vic.
Well, that one sounds bad to me. If I'm Dak Prescott and I'm hearing Jerry Jones say those things about how he feels the quarterback position should go in Dallas, I would feel discouraged. I would feel like the ownership isn't gung-ho about having me there. Like, if they're asking me, I bet you if they asked him about Tom Brady, he'd have a whole different type of response. He'd have a whole different type of reaction. But it just goes to show what we've been alluding to all show long is there's been some trepidation on why Jerry Jones isn't at the forefront signing this kid already and making him one of the upper echelon, quarterbacks as far as pay is concerned in the NFL. So this sounds bad to me.
The word fit.
Especially the disposition that he was sitting in.
The word fit. I hear one word, fit. And I think of, wait, most teams fit the team around the quarterback, not make the quarterback fit around the team. And Jerry Jones said, if it doesn't fit right, and they've made it clear what their vision of fitting right looks like, at least numerically, number-wise, and right now it's not fitting. And Jerry Jones has said, if it doesn't fit right, it's not going to happen. The word fit to me was very interesting.
All right. Again, that's why we're talking about this.
Jack. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we're landing, right?
Sure. Pretty much.
Buy some time. 9 different quarterbacks have started a Super Bowl after signing in free agency, and 6 have won it. Most recently, Nick Foles, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees. So perhaps finding the right fit under center can help you to a Super Bowl in 2020, but it is a tall task. Those names made it look easy, but it's not. So I'll just put it like this. 43, 20-year career in one place. Can Tom Brady win? Not can't. Will Tom Brady win a Super Bowl after free agency, wherever that ends up?
Yeah, if he stays in New England, I think he can. But if we're talking about, the Buccaneers and the Raiders, perhaps the most likely landing spots, I don't see. I think there's a lot of work to be done there.
I think he can. I think if they continue, whatever team he goes to, if they put a plan around him, put a team of weapons around him to be successful, I think Tom Brady's capable of bringing out the best in any football player and making it happen.
If he goes to the San Francisco 49ers, he will.
That's
going to happen or not, he will. If he stays in New England, I would disagree with Field that. No, I don't see that happening. The hurdle is Patrick Mahomes. That's the hurdle you have to navigate. If
Correct.
He figures out a way to navigate that, then yes, he will.
Brady's 6 Super Bowl titles, the most by any player in NFL history, and the Patriots' 6 titles, they're tied together, tied with the Steelers for the most in NFL history as well. Here's where we think these guys are headed, all right?
Yeah.
Play it up. Phillip Rivers, P-Riv, affectionately known.
P-Riv.
Go ahead, Phil.
I'll go with the Colts. I mentioned earlier there's a lot of natural chemistry there with both Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni. They need a quarterback upgrade, in my opinion. They got plenty of money to spend. Would make a lot of sense.
Well, for me, I'm going with the Raiders. I think he stays on the West Coast, goes to a team where the trash talking looks better in black and silver, obviously. But I just think the connection that he'll have there with the playmakers that he has there and the coaching staff, I think they like having an older guy there that's been through the test of time, been through those battles. I think he fits at the Raiders.
All right, Steve says the Colts. Dan, what say you, the Bucs?
I like the Bucs as an alternative. If all the different pieces are moved around and they want to move on from Jameis Winston, I think the aggressive nature of both the play caller, scheme fit, and Phillip Rivers is a good match. I do like the Colts as well, but I'm going to say the Bucs for now.
Where he lives, too, Tampa. Mm.
All right. Oh, look at there. All right, Steve Young, you start the party with Ryan Tannehill.
Well, this is going to give away kind of the, you know, all the pieces that are going to move. I see Ryan Tannehill landing in Oakland. Well, Oakland, Las Vegas.
The Raiders. She's stopping okay, already. Fair enough.
But Las Vegas. But I feel like John Gruden is not going to come out of this without some experienced quarterback to go call plays and, you know, get done what he wants to get done. So I think Ryan Tannehill ends up in Las Vegas.
All right, Field, you say stays put?
I think he stays put. As we've been talking about, there's been some momentum, some steam of late that perhaps Titans want to keep him long term. And he played incredible last year. He was, besides Lamar Jackson, in the second half of the regular season, from a statistical production standpoint, second best quarterback in football. Really, really important part of that late charge for them.
Yeah, I'm going with the Titans as well. I just think he stays there. I think when you look at what he's accomplished there already, the relationship with Mike Vrabel, the way he's been able to kind of raise his level of play due to his confidence that his teammates and his coaching staff have instilled in him, I just think they continue to build on that and he stays in town.
I mean, just for the sake of trying to do things differently, I picked the Chargers mainly because Anthony Lynn wants to do the play-action game. I know they think highly of Tyrod Taylor, but if you can get Tannehill, and it doesn't work out in Tennessee, you can get Tannehill and draft a rookie quarterback to allow them to mentor, cheap contract short term, and you get a younger guy like a Jordan Love out of Utah State or Justin Herbert to develop, you put yourself in a really good place, but he fits what they want to do.
I agree they like Tyrod Taylor. They are high on him, but when you have these names available, you just don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, things. Okay, the big one, Steve Young.
Whoa, no build up?
TB. We've been building up for an hour.
I mean, everyone acts like, oh, this is going to work out somewhere. And honestly, it's a big deal. We talked about it the whole show, Tom Brady rolling around the league. I think if I have to, you know, gun to my head, I'm going to say the Tennessee Titans. But I still think there's conversations happening in San Francisco. And I still think that somebody might not be able to make room for Tom Brady. He ends up back home. So I'm going to stay. It's printed today for the Titans.
All right, Steve. Thank you. Field. I'm with Field, by the way. I think it's ultimately New England.
Yeah, no place like home for Tom Brady. I think that he needs to communicate to the Patriots what he's looking for. Patriots need to hear that out. The Patriots need to prepare to find an offer that can keep Tom Brady for 2 more years, which will get him to that intended goal of playing till the age of 45.
Yeah, I'm thinking Patriots as well, solely because I just think to have your entire career in one place, to be the best quarterback in the world, he has to do that.
Not New England. I'm going to say the Titans.
That's all you got. After all that, that's all you got.
Anywhere.
You can say anywhere.
The man who never
wants to go
has one word. All right. Thanks, everybody.